Muhammad Ali. Sorry, the Flamed. Where are we now? Membe Ahmed Arif, indeed. We are on the sixth wide line of the Gemara. We're on the sixth wide line of the Gemara. Echad Oimer B'shtei Shois. So if you look back at the Mishnah on the Mem Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, once again, we can allow for a minor discrepancy. If one of them said it was B'shtei Shois, and one of them said it was B'shaloi Shois, Edusan Kayemis. 1 hour discrepancy, we can deal with. If one says it was Shalosh Shois and one says it was Chomei Shois, that not. Remember, we're talking about an age before they had watches and clocks, so it was much harder to give an accurate timing. So therefore, if an hour discrepancy, we can allow that. So go back to our Gemara now. It says the Gemara, Echad Omar B'shtei Shois, Omar Rav Simi Ba'ashi. Loi shanu elo shois. There is a discussion, like we said, can we allow a minor discrepancy of a couple of hours? The Mishnah we just saw says that you can. There is an opinion that says you can't. So there's a discussion. So loi shanu elo shois. Aval echad oimer kodem hanetz hachamo. That even though we can allow a small discrepancy with regard to the timing, at least of 1 hour, but if one says it was before the nates and one says it was after the nates, then definitely Edusan Betelo. Now asks the Gemara, surely that's Pshita. Why is that poshut? Because the difference between before the nates and after the nates is not just a difference in timing, but it's a difference in whether the day is light or not. So if there's a mix-up, a confusion, is it 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning? Well, to be perfectly honest, there's not much difference in the appearance of the day between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So I can understand that we can say we can absorb that discrepancy. But before the nates and after the nates, what are you talking about? Is it dark or is it light? So obviously that Eidos is bottles. So what are you being machadish to me, Pshita? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Lo ishanu elo shois. Demar Sovar, there is one opinion that says Toi Inish Hochi. The people make a mistake. Umar Sovar, Loi Toi Kulahai. Another opinion says, no, people don't make a mistake like that. There can be a discussion. I can understand that there's a discussion. Aval Hanetzah Chamo. Simon Muvhak Hu. That is an absolute clear simon. It's a clearly delineated point. 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock is not a clearly delineated point. It's light at 9 o'clock. It's light at 10 o'clock. Maybe it's slightly brighter. Maybe it's slightly warmer. A person can make a mistake. But Nates is a simon muvak. Ve'ein litois b'hanetz hachamo b'toich shi'zerachas. Nobody's going to make a mistake if the sun is shining brightly and says, well, I didn't realize. I actually thought it was before the nates. It can't be. Nates hachamo, by its very definition, means the sun is shining. So if one of the Edom says it was before the nates, you mean to say the sun was not shining? The other one says, no, it was after the nates. You mean the sun was shining? Well, that's a discrepancy we can't allow. Says the Gemara, fine, I understand that, but it's so overwhelmingly obvious. Why would you need to point it out at all? Says the Gemara, you're right. Elo, you're right. That's obvious. I don't need to point that out. Elo, slightly differently. Echad Oimar Koidem Hanetz, Ve'echad Oimar Behanitz or Betoichanitz. If you're comparing between prior to nates and post nates, well, then you're right. There's no comparison, and that mistake is non-reconcilable. But if one, but if one of them says it was before the nates, and the other one says it was at nates, he didn't say it was after nates. What happens at nates? At nates is that slightly gray area where it's not pitch dark, it hasn't yet started shining. So that I can understand. Maybe there's a discussion. That's the chiddush. That no, even that's unacceptable. Okay, that's not poshut. It's very poshut if you're comparing before nates and after nates. That's no comparison. That clearly is non-reconcilable. But if one says it's prior to nates and one says it was at nates, so maybe in theory we could put an argument. Maybe that's reconcilable. No. That's why we needed a chiddush. It's not reconcilable. Okay, I can appreciate that chiddush. Says the Gemara, ho nami pshita. Maybe that's also poshut. Maybe that's also poshut. At the end of the day, prior to the nates, it's still dark. At the nates, it's beginning to shine. So maybe that's also poshut. No. So Rabbi Yosef, how do you translate the following line? Mahu de teima, I would have thought, ha begiluye koi, v'zaharuri ba'alma hu de chaza. Kamashvelom. How do you translate that line, Rabbi Yosef? What would you have thought?
This witness, who says that the offence occurred at sunrise, was standing in the glow before sunrise. And it was nearly the sun's rays that he saw, and he mistakenly thought the sun was already rising.
In other words, I might have thought that this is in fact reconcilable. Because I might have thought that, listen, when it's before the nates, as opposed to at the nates, there is the beginning of the glow of the sun, although you can't actually see the sun because it's still beneath the horizon, but the rays have begun to be invisible. So if one says it was at the nates, which means the sun is just beginning to rise, and the other one says it was before the nates, maybe that's reconcilable. Maybe the one who said it was at the nates, well, he thought that the sun had begun to rise. Actually, he was just seeing the rays of the sun, but it was, in fact, prior to the nates. So maybe that's reconcilable. Kamash Malon, that no, we don't accept that. So it's not so poshut after all. So if you're comparing prior to nates and post nates, well, there's no chiddush in that whatsoever. It's the most obvious thing in the world. That's not reconcilable. But prior to nates and at nates, I might have thought there's a way to reconcile that, as we just mentioned. So kamash malon, that's why we're being taught that actually, no, it's not accurate enough, and therefore the Eidos is bottom. Okay, we continue on the Gemara now. Va'achar kach machnisin. So go back to the Mishnah once again on the Mem Omud Aleph. Where the Mishnah says that you interview one of the Edim, you've investigated him, you've asked all the questions, and then it says, V'achar kach machnisin es hasheni, after which you will then bring in the second one, Uboid kin oisai, and then you see what happens. If his edus is aligned, that's great. And if not, then obviously the edus is bottled. So the Gemara says, if you remember, it says that what happens if one of the Talmidim, remember, were the disciples, they're sitting there in all the rows, they're not part of the Beis Din. But then one of the Talmidim says, actually, I have a zechus. I'd like to offer a word of zechus. Remember, we're always very keen to save this person, v'hitzilu ha'edo. So what do? You promote him. And the Mishnah says, what do you do with him? You put him amongst the Dayanim. V'loi hayo yoreid misham. and he would not descend from there kol hayom kule, all day long. Im yesh mamish bedvarov shemim lo. If there indeed is substance to his claim, then yes, we would definitely listen to what he says. So you keep him there all day long. He is, as it were, promoted now up the rank. Says the Gemara, va'achar kach machnisim. Says the Gemara, oisoi hayoim v'suloi. Sounds like you're telling me you promote him for that day, but that's it. Ay, v'hotanya, haven't we learned in a braisa that im yesh mamish bedvarov? We've learned elsewhere in a braisa that if there was mamish bedvarov, if there really was substance in his claim, then loy hoyo yored mishom loylom. Then he would not descend from there forever. We keep him there the whole time. So why does the Mishnah say that he just sits on the bezdin, as it were, promoted for that day? Where elsewhere we have a braisa that says, no, we keep him there the whole time until the end of the case. V'im ein mamish bedvarov. If, however, it turns out there's no substance in his claim, the braisa says, ein yoyred kol hayom kulo. Then we don't keep him there for the whole case, but at least we just keep him there for the day. So our Mishnah says that what? That you put him there for the day. But the other braisa says, no, you only keep him there for the day. If it turns out that his claim was not substantiated, why would you keep him there even for the day then? Why don't you just throw him out immediately, says the braisa. Kidei sheloi tehe aliyosoi yeridoloi. So that his promotion shouldn't be a demotion. In other words, if you bring him up to the Bezdin and then you send him packing immediately, that's extremely embarrassing. So we don't want his grand promotion to end up to be a source of embarrassment. In other words, he picks up his hand, he's watching the case, the Talmidim, and he says, I would like to suggest a Zuchus. Oh, wow, big fanfare, trumpet blowing, he's now promoted. Yes, what do you have to say? He enters the claim, what are we going to do now? Throw him off the Bezdin straight away? What an embarrassment. So rather, we allow him to stay there for the rest of the day. If there really is mamish bedvarov, then till the end of the case. So why did our Mishnah say that the Talmid remains there only for the day? Didn't the Braisa say that if yesh mamish bedvarov, you keep him there till the end of the case? So the Gemara says, you're right. Omar Abaya Targuma a'im ein mamish bedvarov. You're right. That line of the Mishnah that says you keep him there for the day is talking about where there was ein mamish bedvarov. When it turns out that his claim did not have substance, but if indeed his claim had substance, well, then he's promoted until the end of the case. Okay, yes.
If his claim had no substance, why are they even keeping him there for the day? Why don't they just dismiss him?
I would just say it could be embarrassing. Otherwise, his whole promotion is a source of embarrassment. You brought him up, and 2 seconds later, you throw him off the court. Okay, then we had the case in the Mishnah where they could not come to a conclusion. And so they had to suspend the case until the following day. It was so serious that the Mishnah said they would hardly eat or drink and they definitely wouldn't have wine. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, we need you to translate this pasuk in Mishlei. Motsu lo zechus yayin mai. By the way, we missed out Rashi, I'm sorry. Yerida loy, she'im yeriduhu hayoim la'ayin. If you demote him today in front of everybody, la'in koil busho hilo. It's a tremendous embarrassment. You just promoted him and 5 minutes later you demote him. Okay, yayin, says the Gemara, yayin my time aloy. Why can't they drink wine? Omar Rebbe, Acha Bachanina, Omar Kro, Rabbi Yosef, would you like to take over? It's a posuk in Mishlei.
Yeah. The verse states, for the rulers, intoxicating drink is not, and they put in brackets, fitting. They're ready. This can be interpreted to mean Oskim Berozo Shel Olam Al Yishtachu. The ones who are involved with the secret of the world should not become drunk.
In other words, those who are dealing with such severe cases, let's not forget, we're talking about Dine Nefashos over here. So because we're dealing with Dine Nefashos, therefore it's totally inappropriate to drink wine. This, by the way, is a whole discussion because it could be more than just not appropriate. It could be they're absolutely disqualified because if they've drunk wine, then they won't be able to pass in the Shiloh properly. Okay. We're continuing on. We're trying to finish the parak now. If you go back into the Mishnah continued the case. They couldn't now come to a conclusion. They suspend it now to the next day. They discuss it all day long. And if necessary, they will in fact add Dayonim to the Bezdin. If you remember, the Began was 23. If they can't come to a conclusion, or even if they come to a majority, but remember, for Choyva, you've got to have a majority of two. So if you have 12 Dayanim saying Chayiv and 11 saying he's innocent, well, I can't make him innocent because I've got a majority that say he's guilty. But I can't put him to death because I need a majority of two. So what do? We add people to the Beis Din. More and more and more and more until 71. And now you can no longer add. You cannot have a Beis Din of more than 71. Now, what do you do when you get to 71? So, if a majority say he's innocent, obviously he's acquitted. If now 36 say he's chayev, then what are we going to do? Even though 36 versus 35 is a majority, but it's not a majority of two. And in order to incriminate somebody dealing in a fascist, you need a majority of two. So the Mishnah continued and says the very last line of that Mishnah, Donin Elu Keneged Elu. They're just going to have to review the case again and again and again until eventually somebody switches sides. For example, one of the guilty admits in the end, no, actually he's innocent. Oh, okay, fine. So I've got a majority for innocent and it's game over. Now, the problem is, what happens if that doesn't happen? Says the Gemara, Loi Ro'u Mai. What happens if nobody sees the other one's point of view? So we've got a split decision. We cannot come to a final verdict. So what are we going to do? How long is it going to go on for? They're going to discuss it for 10 years? Surely there must be a certain point by which we say, okay, we're not moving forward over here. We're not coming to a conclusion. And therefore, well, how are we going to pass in the Shiloh? Says the Gemara, Loi ro mai. Loi ro mai. Says the Gemara, Omar of Acha, Hoitrin oisoi. Okay, so then the case is adjourned. If we cannot come to a conclusion, remember, even if in fact the majority is saying a chayev, but it's not a big enough majority, poitrin you say. That's it, you pat them, you exempt them, finish, it's all over. V'chein omer Rabbi Yechanan, poitrin. So too, Rabbi Yechanan said exactly the same, poitrin. This Beis Din cannot come to a conclusion, and therefore there's no way that he can be incriminated. Says the Gemara, omaleir of popper, abaya, I don't understand. The lifter may Well, why didn't you do so in the beginning? Again, what happened? You had 23, 25, 27, 29, 30, 40, 50, 60. You got to 71. Okay, that I understand. You got to 71. You took a tally of the votes. We can't come to a conclusion. So what did the Mishnah say? Donin Elu Keneged Elu. Now they have a big discussion backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And they still can't come to a conclusion. So what do you do? Poitrin, I say, well, why didn't you do that in the beginning? As soon as you got to 71, that's the point where obviously we cannot add any more because there's no such thing as a 73-man Beis Din, which we should have counted the votes And we can't come to a conclusion. Well, that's it. Case adjourned. The lifter Amy Caro. Look at Rashi. The Nifter Mikara, Misha Hoisifoi, once they added Ad Shivim Ve'echod, once they added all the way to Shivim Ve'echod, V'nechluku, and they're still divided, is Lomo Onu Ma'acharim Hadavo. Why are we now delaying the matter? Remember, again, this is always our agenda. What's always our agenda at every stage? To get this person exempt. Now, I can't just exempt him for no reason. I've got to exempt him for a good reason. So if we see that in the event that the Beis Din cannot come to a conclusion, he's exempted, so we're very excited, we'll exempt him. So once we got to 71 Dayanim, and we took a tally of the votes, and it doesn't come to a clear conclusion. Well, why did we not just dismiss the Beis Din there and then? We're taking an enormous gamble now by saying, okay, no, Donin Elu Keneged Elu. Let's have another discussion. But what might happen? One of the innocent Dayanim might switch camp to guilty, and all of a sudden he's put to death. Well, what agenda have I got to do that? At the first opportunity I had to adjourn the case, why wouldn't I want to do that? Says the Rashi again, Mishai Sifu at Shivim. Once they added all the way to 71 and they're still divided, Lomo Onu Ma'acharim Hadovo. Why are we still delaying the matter? Lodun Elu Keneged Elu. To judge these against them, to still continue the argument. Mi Islon Lahaduri. Are we searching Basar Chayva? Are we trying to get him guilty? No, to the contrary, we want to find him innocent. So if the Beis Din can't come to a conclusion, we should be rubbing our hands with glee, and we should say, fine, okay, that's it. We tried our best. We got to 71. That's it. Game over. Why would we want to continue the discussion? Says the Gemara, Omalei, Hochi Amabrechim, Kedei, Sheloi, Yetsu, Mi Beis Din. Because they might leave Beis Din in a very shameful way. Look at Rashi. Kadesh Genai Beis Din. It's a great embarrassment for the Beis Din, Shiyotsuba, but they ended up divided opinion, Ligmar, and then unable to come to a conclusion. If Be'emes they were unable to come to a conclusion, because even having reached 71, they reviewed the case again and again and again, and they still can't come to the conclusion, fine, en ma lasot, there's nothing they could do. But once you got to 71 and you have not yet discussed the case, we're not going to adjourn the case because that's a genai to Beis Din. Oh, there are so many chashuv dayanim and they couldn't come to a clear, decisive conclusion. So we'll have to encourage them to keep on discussing it and discussing it and discussing it. And if eventually they can't come to a conclusion, okay, at that point, there's nothing I could do.
So the main agenda just changed from trying to find his innocence to protecting the reputation of the
Not
Dayan.
the main agenda to get him innocent, but not at the expense of Gnai to Beis Din, which is muchach, because otherwise just keep the Beis Din going and going and going and going and going and going forever. No. At a certain point, we do step in and say, okay, that's it, ad kan, the guy's acquitted. So you see that ultimately the agenda is, the main agenda, the number one agenda is, more important than Gnai to a Beis Din, is to save him. But initially, there'll be an enormous embarrassment to the Beis Din. You couldn't come to a conclusion. We're still trying to save the blushes of the Beis Din. Yes, Rabbi Larry.
So there's no such thing as saying we went through the whole Beis Din, it was inconclusive. Therefore, we're going to dismantle this Beis Din, and he now, if he has, he can be tried again. He's done. He is Potter.
Correct.
Wow.
Once he's potter, he's potter. Now, the truth of the matter is, and this is the Gemara's next question, is If we're so determined to get him off the hook, then why indeed did we add anything to the 23? Don't we admit that the very fact that we added to 23 and we got to 23 and 25 and 27, etc., 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 well, that is also a big risk, is it not? Because at the end of the day, at the point I had 23 die on him. So what happened then? 23 die on him, and we can't come to a conclusion. Fine. So why didn't we abandon the case then? And then he would have been off the hook. What did we do? No, let's add 25, 27. Why do we do that? Says the Gemara, Ikud Omri, some have the version of the question like this. Ikud Omri, Omri, Popola, Abaya, Velomoli, Yosifu. Why did we ever add in the first place? Liftere mi beidina kamo. Why didn't we just exempt him from the first Beis Din? He was supposed to be judged by a Beis Din of 23. The 23 Dayanim could not come to a conclusion. Fine, game over. Why must we continue now adding Dayanim? That seems a very fair question. Says Rashi, the lifter mi beis din hakamo lama. Why are we adding mishenechaku harishonim? When the first group, meaning the Beis Din of 23, when they could not come to a conclusion, why are we adding? Yodinu elu keneged elu. Why don't we just continue the judgment with the 23 without adding? Im ra'o echad me'elu es divri elu halitoiv. If one of them switches camps, great. V'im lav yiftaru. And if not, let's exempt him. Why must we add anybody to the Beis Din? That seems a very good question. Says the Gemara, you know something? It's such a good question. Omale Reb Yosi Koi Kevoseich. You're right. Reb Yosi, the Tana, holds exactly like that. Your question on our Mishnah says you've got to add and add and add, and you're querying, why do you add? Yes. Well done. You're mechaven to the opinion of Reb Yosi. The Tanya, because we have a braisi, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kashem she'ein moisifin al bezdin shel shivim ve'echot. Just like there is no such concept of adding to the bezdin of 71, kach ein moisifin al bezdin shel esrim. Yes, indeed, Rabbi Yosi maintains he agrees with your question. It turns out it's a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yosi maintains that just like you don't add to 71, you don't add to 23 either. So if you have a 23-man Beis Din and they can't come to a conclusion, fine, so they'll argue the case again. And again, if one of them sees the other side of the coin, he'll switch camp. And if not, then he won't. And it'll be adjourned. You don't add Dayanim just like you don't add to 71. So we seem to have Rabboisa, an enormous machloikas over here. Our Mishnah says that what? That you do add.
Doing.
And Rabbi Yosi says, no, you don't. Now, if we were to ask the question, okay, so what's the pshat in our Mishnah? After all, Rabbi Yosi seems to have a very valid claim. If we don't add to the 71, then presumably you shouldn't add to the 23 either. We can understand that. So what does our Mishnah hold? Our Mishnah says, no, you do add. So it must be that our Mishnah holds that, no, it's different. You cannot add to 71. Why not? Because there is no such thing as a Beis Din larger than 71. So therefore, there exists no precedent. But 23, the Mishnah says, I don't mind adding because there is a Beis Din larger than 23. In fact, it's so large, it can go all the way to 71. So therefore, if you ask the question in that Nusach and you say, well, just like we don't add to 71, we so too also shouldn't add to 23. No, I'm sorry, it's not quite the same. I don't add to 71 because there's no such concept. There's no such entity of a Beis Din larger than 71, but there is larger than 23. So we have a very big machlokes, and it turns out a machlokes tanoim. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Actually, I see there's 6 minutes left. Okay, let's carry on for a couple of moments. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Oimer bedine mamonas nizdakein hadin. In the case of dine mamonas, we say two words, which needs to be explained afterwards, nizdakein hadin. The ein oimer bedine nefasha is nizdakein hadin. But we do not say Nizdakin Hadin in the case of Dine Nefashis. Now, what does Nizdakin Hadin mean? Nizdakin, the root of the word Nizdakin is, of course, Zokin, old. Nizdakin Hadin means the Din got old. Well, what does that mean? In the case of Dine Mominus, we say the Din got old. In the case of Dine Nefashis, we don't say that. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, my nizdakein hadin. What does that mean, quote unquote, nizdakein hadin? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, it means kash dino. What does kash mean? Kash means an old person. Look at Rashi. Kash dine zokein dinze. This din is very old and senior, v'omoik, v'kosha, very deep and difficult. V'tzorech lahamtin boy, we need to delay. We need to delay. Does that make any sense, Rabbi Yisrael? In the case of momonais, we will say that the din is very hard, we need to delay. But we won't say that in dine nefoshes. To the contrary, in dine nefoshes is a much harder case. There, I should say, nizdake nadin, that the din is very hard, we need to push it off, we need to delay. Says the Gemara, ipcha mi boyale. Well, surely it should be the exact opposite. Does it make sense? If you're talking about delaying a din because it's severity, then to the contrary, it makes much more sense. That should be the case in the Foshes as opposed to Momonos. So how can you say that in the case of Dine Momonos, we say Nizdakin Adin, we've got to put it off, but not in the case of Dine Nefoshes? Doesn't make any sense. The opposite should be true. So the Gemara says, you're right. The opposite version is the correct one. Omar Rav Huna Bar Manoach Mishmei Derav Acha Breder of Ika. Epoch, you're right, switch it around. It was misquoted. In the case of Dine Nefashes, you've got to treat it much more severely. And on occasion, you'd have to say, Nizdakin Adin. The Din is very old, meaning it's very deep. We need to delay it. We cannot come to a conclusion. In the case of Momonos, we're more happy to come to a conclusion quickly than we are in the case of Nefashes. So we had the original version the opposite way around. Doesn't make sense. The moral says the opposite should be true. You're right. The opposite is true. We're going to switch the girsa. Tomorrow, Mr. Hashem will see that there is a way that we could understand even the first way around as well. Yes, Blair, you wanted to say something? We have 2 minutes.
Yeah, if you, back to the previous sugi a little bit, if you were going to say, well, why didn't you just stop at 23? Why wait till get 71? If that's the kasha you're going to ask, couldn't you then say, forget that, why not go directly to 71? Why even set up a Beis Din of 23? Why not go directly to 71? Why waste all the time? Because if you're going to ask, you got to ask the same kasha. If you're going to ask the kasha of 71, why not just stop at 23? Obviously, there's a, so then I'll ask you, then why even bother with 23? Why not go right to 71?
23, we learn from Pesukim. The Maisa's learned from Psukim that you've got to have 23. The question is, the Torah didn't tell us, what do you do if the 23 can't come to a conclusion? But you've definitely got to start with 23 that's learned from Psukim. Okay, everyone should have a great day. Everyone should have a great week, Mitzvah Hashem, and we look forward to resuming tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
Sure.